Get the answers you need now. Contact the show by calling 416-872-1010 or text 71010. You're listening to The Animal House with Dr. Clayton Greenway on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Welcome to Animal House. I'm your host, Dr. Clayton Greenway. This is the show where I invite you into my appointment room and take your questions about your pets. I've been practicing veterinary medicine for over 20 years in Toronto. I've completed advanced training in orthopedic surgery, emergency care procedures, and internal medicine in dogs and cats. So this hour is a great opportunity to get your pet vet questions answered. The phone lines are open, so give us a call. 416-872-1010 or text us at 71010. If you're calling long distance, 1-877-518-5151. But more importantly, I'm here to help you. I'll give you honest answers so you can make the best medical decisions for your pet. I love helping people who love their pets. So give me a call. We get lots of calls. But if you call in early, if you call in now, I can guarantee that I'll get to your question. The phone lines are open. 416-872-1010 or text us at 71010. And as always, I can promise my listeners one thing. If you care enough to call in, then I will care about your pet and give you the very best medicine I can deliver.
Now, what seems to be the problem? You can tell me. I'm a vet tuner.
Oh, that's how we like to start the show. Those animals always remember. All right, so let me tell you, you can't go very far as a vet without people bringing up animals, okay? And I have a standing rule with my friends. You don't tell people I'm a vet, okay? Because then they have questions. But I don't mind them that much, actually. And there's a couple of things that happened this week. I was, I just popped online to my Facebook, and all of a sudden a Facebook feed from a neighborhood group came up, and someone was like, you know, my dog's poop doesn't look right. I need help. I just sent them my phone number, and then they called me, and I thought, well, that's, you know, if it's a neighbor, I got to help them out. Then I went down to Niagara, and I was playing something that I hadn't played for years, which I really enjoyed. I was playing some poker, and sure enough, you know, somebody starts talking about something about their dog that keeps running away on them. I had to start talking to them about how to prevent that behavior, and then all of a sudden the questions started to come from the whole table, from the 10 different people playing poker. And the bottom line is we all have animals. There's so many people out there with animals, and there's so much spending on animals going on. And that's one of the things that we're seeing in veterinary medicine. And you know what? The prices are on the rise, and it sucks. We're not going to see relief to that anytime soon. It's probably just going to continue because of this shortage of veterinarians. The schools are doing what they can to try to get more through, but there's going to be a lag time because it takes years to produce one of these veterinarians. And one of the things is vet bills have soared. So recently there was an article that looked at, you know, pet insurance. That was a question I got a couple times this week. So, you know, a lot of these things, this perfect storm has occurred through COVID and now inflation and all of this, that vet bills are really pushed to the brink. The cost of pet food and supplies rose by 2.1% year over year in January. That's what the latest inflation data from Statistics Canada showed. So I looked up numbers on owning a pet. Owning a pet is not cheap in Canada. It says here in 2023, the average cost of owning a dog in Canada ranged from $460 to $3,140. Now that can't be including food. I mean, it's hard to feed a dog on $460 a year. So that's got to be just pet care. And that does not include the initial costs such as adoption, neutering, daily essentials, things like that. That price is roughly $1,395 to $4,200, and now that's for the dogs. But let's not forget the cats. The cats, they say it's an average of $350 to $1,380 a year, and then of course first time expenses can be $960 to $2,500. So we're really talking about a lot of money. I mean, you go back to the dogs at the top end of 4,200 and 3,140. I mean, that's, you're talking about $8,000-$9,000 a year. You look at that in after tax dollars, you know, that can end up being 15 grand of somebody's salary. And, you know, I imagine the average salary is not soaring that higher than, you know, 40 grand or 45, 50 grand, something like that. So that's a huge chunk of money that people are paying. And that's not to say, you know, as well, then you've got the things that just happen, right? The broken legs and the hit by cars and the gosh knows what. So people have been getting pet insurance, but not very many. Really across Canada completely, there's only about 500,000 people who have pet insurance. That's not very high for a population of Canada. The 2021 to 2022 numbers, the number went from 400,000 to 508,000. That's a jump of a little over 20%. But still, that's a very low number overall. And it says here, you know, the question is pet insurance worth it? It says here, from November 2022, from a poll, it showed that 16% of Canadian pet owners who had coverage, one in five said it was a lifesaver. That's not too bad. While a third said that it was nice to have, but not always needed. And 10 described it as totally useless. So it sounds like one out of 10 didn't have coverage for what they wanted, or they just never ended up using it. And the point is it's supposed to be for peace of mind. It's not really, so you're not really supposed to have to use it. It's supposed to be for peace of mind. But you've got to, you know, if anyone's thinking about it, you've got to read the fine print. You've got to look at, you know, basically per year maximums or per condition maximums, co-pays, deductibles, you know, policies are just really fire and theft. They're going to be for, you know, specific things like your dog is hit by a car or it has, you know, diarrhea or it swallowed something. They will specifically name the issues, whereas more comprehensive policies are going to cover things like gastrointestinal, which means that's anything like diarrhea, swallowing something, vomiting, anything related to the gastrointestinal tract. And that's, of course, going to be more expensive, higher deductible, things like that. So that's always something you can look at. In my mind, insurance has always done pretty well for people, and they've been happy with it. Okay, let's get to the phones and try to help you out so that you aren't running off to the vet. And that person who called me, that neighbor, absolutely, they were going to run to the vet, and it was absolutely unnecessary. I called them, talked to them, just had the conversation, and it headed off the entire visit. And we talked a little later tonight, and then the next day, and dog was fine. And she absolutely saved over $1,000 from not going to the vet, and she would have otherwise. So I like that about the show. Hopefully I can help you out. What I'm bothered now by is how long my intro is and how much I'm not helping people. So let's go right to the phones. Okay, Susan, oh, I hate this. You've got a golden retriever. What's going on?
Hi there. Yeah, so my golden retriever, Indy, he'll be 13 next month, and I had him at the vet last week for a checkup.
Yeah.
He noticed that he had cracked his lower canine.
Okay.
And she says it has to come out. And
so here's what I want to know. When it says cracked, that means the tooth is intact with a crack through it. I don't think it's that. Is it a slab fracture, like there's part of it missing?
Yes, part of it's missing.
Yes, that makes more sense. Okay, so what did they say? And you can end up telling everyone what the quote is.
Okay, so she said that the tooth has to come out. She said she could see pulp, that it's probably recently happened because the tooth is still white. It hasn't discolored yet.
Okay.
And so I have a quote for just the surgery, just for that one tooth, one x-ray, that kind of thing. And they're also suggesting that if he's going to have anesthetics, that they might as well do a full, what they call COHAT. So the full x-rays of the full mouth, and cleaning, like totally available for like the whole cleaning process.
So it's gone from deal with the tooth, which is going to be a fortune anyways, and then to let's look at the entire mouth and see if any other teeth have got to come out.
Yeah, and so right now I'm leaning towards obviously just doing the one tooth, but I'm also concerned because he's
all right.
Clean and
so let's tell everyone. Okay, so the first thing is the fact that he's 13 and the anesthetic. I want you to know. I'm just going to tell you, and I'm always honest with people. He's going to do fine. That's going to be fine. I've done endless number of surgeries on 13-year-olds. Let's remember, how many? I'm 49. How many surgeries have I had in life? I don't even recall having one. We only have them when we're older. Okay, so they do really well when that's the case. And doing some blood work beforehand, if you have an older pet, to make sure there's no problems with the metabolism, liver, things like that, for taking the anesthetic, they're fine. I mean, anesthetics are meant for older animals because that's when we need to have surgery. So okay. Let's tell everyone the big shocker. What's the estimate?
Okay, so they gave me a high and a low estimate for each thing. So so if we're just going to do the one tooth, the low estimate is just under $1,000 and the high is $2,200.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
And if we're going to do the full, you know, the whole package with the full x-rays and dental cleaning, it's about $1,500 on the low and $2,600 on the high.
Ugh. Okay. What do you think?
Well, I would prefer just to, like, his teeth are not in bad shape. Otherwise, he's got a little bit of tartar on his canines, and my vet even said, like, his teeth are pretty good.
No, so, they have to. Okay, so that's an issue. They clean, there's a teeth cleaning, the whole mouth is cleaned anyways before any surgery is done. So that first quote, that includes a cleaning for sure with the tooth coming out. But here's what we're going to do. I got to run to commercial break. When I come back, I'm going to give you my answer. I'm going to tell you whether you should do it or not and the cost and give you my assessment. And then I'm going to take more questions. You're listening to Animal House.
How much is that doggy in the window?
To interact with veterinarian and pet expert Dr. Clayton Greenway, send your text to 71010.
Welcome back to Animal House. We're having a good time this morning, and thanks for coming along with us. You know, I'm getting these messages in saying, why don't you remove the tooth yourself for that lady at a better price? And, you know, where can I come to find you? I am starting a website. I will take telemedicine platform. I'll link it to a telemedicine platform where I can take your appointments. This is coming. It's going to be probably in about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I promise. I am going as fast as I can, and I'll also have products on there that I'm going to tell you that are good versus bad ones and stuff like that, and I'll also have forums where you guys can talk to each other, and I think that's really important that I don't think people listen to this show for me. I think they listen to hear everyone else talk about the cases, and I think that's really important. I think pet owners want to talk to other pet owners, and that's what I want to try to create on this website. Okay, back to Susan, you have your 13-year-old dog with a cracked lower canine tooth, one of the big fang tooth. Susan, are you still on the line?
I am, yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. They said, okay, there's a bit of the tooth gone, and they say that they can see the pulp. Now, that's odd because, like they said, you know, it happening recently, I don't know. Once you see the pulp, it should turn the whole tooth pink pretty quickly. So I just, you know, at 13 years old, it really depends on how bad this fracture is, because if I were with people, I'd say, listen, you're not going to have a problem with this. Do you know why we remove these teeth? Is once the integrity is damaged, they say the tooth can crack further, so get rid of it now. And you have a 13-year-old dog. There's not that many years ahead, not to be pessimistic, but to be realistic and to think about the money here, that's a big expense for a dog that's older. And so, you know, this is when they need the expense, though. So I, you know, that's the thing. Me putting my eyes on it would be a big difference. What I would tell you is just go in there and remove that tooth. But be prepared for being by the phone, because I think they're going to end up calling you and saying this tooth and this tooth and this tooth need to be be coming out too. And all of these are decisions based on age. I mean, you really have to, I really do the blood work before the anesthetic, not just for the anesthetic, but to say, is my dog really healthy otherwise? Because if there's anything else going on, I don't know if you want to make such a dramatic investment in the dental issue. And so these are things that sort of have to be, I have to move on to another question. That's why I'm sort of stopping you. But that's where I would put it. And let me tell you, the question is whether there's pain. If I was doing the physical exam, I would have a probe out and I would be touching that tooth and I would be finding out if it's painful. If your dog ever yelps or bites something or runs away, that means it's painful. The question is how painful is your dog, which is very difficult to tell. That's why I use the probe and I'd probe that tooth. There is layers. There's the enamel, then there's dentin, then there's pulp. The dentin can actually respond. They can grow secondary dentin. My father's dog lived in the beach. The sand had ground down its teeth like crazy, and secondary dentin had produced, and we didn't have to remove any of these teeth, and most of them were blunted halfway. So the thing is there's real variability there, and so I'd have that chat with the vet, but definitely only address that tooth, but take in all the other factors as well. I'll leave you with that, and we got to go back to the phones. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. You see, this one I really like. Okay, I want everyone to listen to this call because it seems like allergies are everywhere, no matter what time of year it is. And we're probably going into an even worse allergy season, quote unquote allergy season. Okay, I put it in air quotes for a reason, because everyone who seems to call with allergies doesn't have allergies. But let's see what's happening here. Heather, you've got Katie, who's 2 years old, Labrador Retriever. They love scratching themselves. What's going on? What's going on with Katie?
You know, got scratching very frequently, and we've taken her to the vet, and they put her on a something ears. First of all, it's called Sirolan Ear Solution.
Sure, it's an ear medication.
Yeah. So we've given her that, and then we got on the prescription, which is VANE.
Yeah, I'm aware. What it is you have a medication that's a combination of a steroid, which is anti-itch, anti-inflammatory, and it's also got antihistamine in it. So the histamine is for allergic reactions, and that stuff is usually pretty good. For a golden retriever, I'm going to ask you, how many of those little red pills, are they red?
Yes.
Yeah, how many of them are you giving?
Well, there were
just how many?
3 tablets twice daily.
Okay, you are giving a good dose then to your Labrador Retriever. Now, let's do this. What's happened?
Well, you know, she got peeing all over the place.
Oh yeah, she'd be drinking and peeing everywhere. Yeah, from the steroid. Yeah.
Yeah. So then finally, we gave her maybe half the. Then after 4 days, supposed to give her 3 and everything. But you know what?
Yep.
Got so bad that we just quit.
Now, the scratching, though, did it get helped at all?
Never noticed much, no.
Beautiful. Okay,
yeah.
So we know. If it was allergies, that should have been a sledgehammer to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so yeah. Something strange is going on. Now, what's happening now? What are you doing now? What's the vet saying?
Well, I phoned the breeder, and she's a Sandy Brig. She's pet dog
man.
For years.
I got to tell you something. I so much want to, it's going to be totally useless to hear this, but I have to for the entertainment value. What happened there?
So anyway, she said change the food and, you know,
oh my God.
Do this and that. So we did, but it still hasn't helped. She's not
what a shocker.
Scratching a lot, but she's not losing a lot of hair or getting down to the skin or anything. You know, it's just...
Sure.
And she's very happy, so I don't know what we should do.
Yeah. Do you live in an urban environment, or does she go swimming? Does she get wet? When did this start?
Oh, it started about 3 months ago.
Okay, and she doesn't go swimming?
In the water.
Okay. And tell me about the ears. When did they start?
They started about 3 months ago, too. They got quite red inside, and they're just sort of a light pink right
was it
now.
Both ears? Was it both ears or one?
Yeah.
Both ears. Okay. And, of course, here's the lovely final question, and the answer will be no. Are there any diagnostics that were done?
No.
Okay. So we've got our perfect quote-unquote allergy dog that's not responding to allergy medication, and no diagnostics are done. So you wonder why. I get these calls all the time. Heather, it's not your fault. Okay. Uh-huh. But here you are ready to do stuff, and nobody knows the answer. So what I tell you is you have to get a skin scraping done, something called a skin scraping. They scrape the skin. They look at it under the microscope. There could be, there's two things that I'm thinking. First of all, it started with the ears. You've got to swab the ears as well and send that to the lab and have them grow it, whatever is in there, to try to get the ears under control. But here's the thing. Ears sometimes have yeast. Yeast can spread to the skin. If it's a yeast infection, that's totally a different treatment. And I've seen dogs have a yeast infection for a decade, and they're being treated for allergies with steroids, and their whole body has changed from the steroids, and all they needed was antifungal medication for the yeast, and I do that, and then it gets better for the rest of their lives, but only after 10 years of steroids, which were unnecessary. So definitely the diagnostics have to happen. Here's the other thing. What people forget is they don't go to a root of the problem. So you can have some mild allergies, but often there's a secondary bacterial infection, right? And there's been no antibiotics or anything like that. But one of the things you could do is you could go to the vet and get a really good antibacterial shampoo. As you say, it's everywhere, right? Yeah. And allergies, they tend to be in spots, but like, so the thing is, I would shampoo her right down to the skin, put her in the washroom, let it sit on her, like throw some towels down, let the shampoo sit on her for, 10, 20 minutes. This is the sort of thing why I want the website, because I want to tell people, if you've got an allergic dog, come get this stuff and order it, and it will be reasonably priced. And you put it on, you leave it on for 10, 20 minutes, do that twice a week for 3 weeks and see what happens. I think you might find that there's a tremendous amount of control that happens, because I think we're talking about a more likely secondary bacterial infection. But I'd get the skin scrapings done as well. And then if none of that works, then you're going down the road of potentially allergies and a different medication than the stuff that you've used. But I think there needs to be more of an understanding of what is going on here. And this is really important. And that's one of the reasons why I want to end up helping people with some telemedicine and some appointments that they can come to. So I got to leave you with that, because I got to go to commercial break.
Good. Well, thank Give you us so a, much. I really
no
appreciate
problem.
Enjoying your program. It's great.
Oh, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. And good luck with that. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. You're listening to Animal House.
She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep, and he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says, it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Get the answers you need now. Contact the show by calling 416-872-1010 or text 71010. You're listening to The Animal House with Dr. Clayton Greenway on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Welcome back to Animal House. Thanks for listening. As I always say, listen to the radio and then take the dog for a walk. All right. If you've got a question, give us a call. 416-872-1010. Yes, I just got another text message about contacting me on telemedicine. I shouldn't be mentioning it until it's available. It's coming very soon, in about 2 weeks. Okay, I'll let everybody know. Okay, let's get back to the phones. And there's a call here that looks like it's really important, and I want to see if it might be a life to be saved here. Brad, you've got Ellie, an 8-year-old Morkie, and it sounds like things are pretty serious here. What's going on?
Well, just to start off with, Ellie is, as you mentioned, is our 8-year-old Morkie. She was on a raw food diet up to about 6 weeks ago. And her sickness kind of came out of nowhere.
What is she doing? So 6 weeks ago, what started to happen?
6 weeks ago, she was the first night, she vomited quite a bit of food up.
Yeah.
And then later on, she wasn't eating. She ended up going lots of blood in her stool.
Whoa, okay.
And at that point in time, we had taken
it. It was fresh blood? It was red blood?
It was red blood, yeah.
Okay, so she's getting low. She's not doing as well. You go to the vet. What did the vet do?
So we took her to the animal hospital, and the animal hospital ran a series of tests. One being
blood work, X-rays,
fecal.
They did a fecal test, which will be negative for sure. What else?
X-rays were taken, have been taken up to this point. We've gone through a series of different tests.
X-rays were normal. Blood work X-rays, just showed a lot of vomiting and diarrhea.
That's right. No obstructions. So now you're wondering
about an ultrasound.
Yeah. Well, we've been put in the direction of our veterinarian to seek out a specialist as they feel that it could be irritable bowel disease. The other possibility they kicked around is trying steroids.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
They put us on to a homemade meal through.
Okay, useless. All right.
Yeah.
That's currently useless. How many times have they talked to you about raw food?
They've talked to us a number of times at the. They're saying that they're not a fan of raw food.
So they're. I'm telling you, I don't like this for that particular reason, because they're gonna chastise about the raw food and wonder if the raw food caused the problem because they're idiots. And I'm just gonna say it like that. That's not nice of me to say. But the thing is, vets are completely against raw food, and it's not raw food that does this sort of thing. So let me ask you a big question: is she losing weight?
She lost. She was originally 10 pounds, and she's dropped weight to 9 pounds over the.
Have they put her on an antibiotic for the diarrhea or digestive problems?
Well, she's been on a series of different antibiotics, including sulfate.
The antibiotics get her better, but then she gets worse again after, right?
Yeah, metronidazole. She's done pain.
Yeah, Tylosin, metronidazole.
Yeah.
Yep.
They've injected her with fluid for hydration.
Okay. Yeah, she's on the way out with this if it doesn't get figured out. And I think I know what it is. And quite frankly, so you've got blood work, X-rays, fecal, any other tests that have been run?
No, at this point, that's kind of what's been taking place.
Okay. My comment about the way out is not great for you to hear. This is what you're worried about. And you've been pretty good on the call all the way up to that. And what it tells me is that you're in pretty rough shape and you're worried. Here's what we're going to do. I once saw a case exactly like this. What it was just a really bad bacterial infection in the intestinal tract. What I want you to do is have them run something called a fecal culture. Okay.
Yeah.
So that fecal test that was for parasites. This is not parasites. That's not what's happening at all. Here's the thing. There is definitely, you know, this your dog is 8 years old, so we're not talking into the really bad stuff. But the things that can be happening here, because there's weight loss, it's definitely up in the small intestine. Okay. It's not the large intestine, it's the small intestine that's got a problem. And so what they want to do is they want to do the ultrasound, and they want, where this is going to go is getting a biopsy of the small intestine, because they've probably thrown the word cancer around a little bit. Okay. And that's something that they're thinking about, because that can hit the small intestine, a type of lymphoma. It's not as common in dogs though. So that's less likely. What I think is more likely is that she's picked up a salmonella or E. coli, and the antibiotics that you're giving are, they could be resistant to it, or it's not going on long enough. The antibiotics are not going on long enough. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was standing in line with my father, waiting to go to a movie, and there was someone behind, and he poked me on the shoulder and he said, "Are you Dr. Greenaway?" I said, "Yeah." And he looked familiar. He said, "I came and saw you, you know, 8 years ago." And I said, "Oh yeah, okay." And he said, "You saved my dog's life." I mean, it was a really nice moment for me, and this was exactly what was happening. It doesn't happen often, but this is the exact symptoms. And basically, it was just a really bad E. coli infection that had been picked up, and of course, that raw food potential is there, okay? I still don't think it's necessarily that, but it's possible. So what I want you to do is the fecal culture, grow whatever is in there, and they will tell you what bacteria is there. You're going to get the dictionary of bacteria, but you're really looking for what it's resistant to. And in the other case, we had to use a combination of two different antibiotics for about 2 months straight, and it absolutely solved the problem and it saved the dog's life. And so that's something that I want you to look for, and that's very possible. If that comes back and it isn't consistent with that, like there's not like a bad bug in there, that's where you'd probably have to go to either the ultrasound, but I don't really like the idea of the ultrasound as much. That's what you're supposed to do next. There's part of me that would want to go in there and get biopsies. And I'd be just jump to that because the ultrasound can be useless as well. But for you, before jumping to something more aggressive, maybe the ultrasound is better. But I would do a fecal culture. I would get the results of that. I would put her back on antibiotics. Any antibiotics whatsoever, just to prevent more weight loss and try to get the symptoms under control, and then wait for the results, because they're going to take about a week and a half. And then if there's nothing there, definitely the ultrasound and go from there. But I promise you, this doesn't sound like something that is going to do her in if you've got the right treatment. And this is the problem, and I'm very serious about this. This is the type of case where people start to give up, and it's not give upable. It's something that is treatable. And I can't say that for sure, but this match is exactly that type of case. And I want you to try to do that, because I think it's going to save her life.
Thank you very much, Dr. Greenlee. I appreciate your time.
Okay, I appreciate it too. All right, good luck with things, and you call us back if that helps and if that works. I'd really like to know. You're listening to Animal House.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
To interact with veterinarian and pet expert Dr. Clayton Greenlee, send your text to 71010.
Welcome back to Animal House. As I always say, listen to the radio and then take the dog for a walk. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. I wouldn't be anywhere without my listeners. Let's get right back to the phones. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. Let's go. Okay. I don't know much about bunnies. Sandro, you have two bunnies. Do you want to tell us how you got them, what you're trying to do with them?
Yeah, thank you for taking a call anyways. We ended up having someone dump 100 bunnies in a park.
Oh, geez.
And one of them showed up on our front porch.
I have to ask you, whereabouts do you live? Like, yeah, what area?
We live in the Downsview Dells, so it's North Toronto, North York.
Yeah, that's odd, because I've grown up in Cabbage Town, and I live in Cabbage Town, and I have to tell you, 3 weeks ago, I saw bunnies running around for the first time in my life in Cabbage Town. So I don't know what's happening, and I can't imagine that's just spring. Something's happened here. The bunnies have taken over.
I guess these ones got a bad start for sure. They got dumped. One of them made its way to our front porch. We ended up going through animal services. They took the bunny away. We ended up adopting two of them, spayed. They're females. They got spayed. And, we didn't think, we don't have much experience with bunnies either. So we brought them in a pen and together, and they started to fight. I got introduced to the idea of you have to bond your bunnies. So we put a dividing fence between the two of them, the pen.
Yep.
And so this is where we are now. They're not biting at each other through the fence as much as they were initially. And apparently there's a new process of bonding, which I have to learn about.
Okay. Let me ask you. And Dr. Google here might be better than me, I'll try my best here. I'm sure there's all sorts of possibilities. What Are they both? Are they male and female?
They're both female.
Okay. So one of the things, I mean, what I tell people with cats, and I assume it's going to work as well, is that, look, you know, animals are territorial, right? And both of these are like, you know, if a man comes around, you're my competition. So the thing is I think throwing them in together is usually the shocker. So what we really need to do is we really need to almost do like a slow reintroduction. So yeah, they're separated. And now what you can do is, which might be difficult, is if you have, I mean, at this point you have them in two different spaces that's just really close together. I would try to, if you could, have those spaces apart from each other. So, what you could do is leave one in the cage, put one in the washroom, put some treats in there, let it stay in the washroom for the day. Then you switch the spots on them. And so you put some treats in the washroom. The next bunny goes in the washroom, smells the other bunny, and also knows there's treats there. So now it's happy, and the smell of the other bunny is around. Then you switch them again. And you start to introduce them by smell. And at the same time of that smell, you start, you know, they have some treats. So they know, huh, when I smell this other bunny, all of a sudden, and they absolutely can. Their sense of smell is unbelievable. They can smell what's on the bottom of your shoes, your cologne, the perfume in your shampoo. And so basically you switch them in and out of there, and the biggest smell they're going to smell in there is going to be the other bunny. And so you put some treats in there, and I think that's a that's a bunny reintroduction program, okay? Dr. Greenway's bunny reintroduction program. Okay, all right?
So they smell them, they don't see them, there's a treat, so there's that kind of thing going on.
Yeah, so that's...
Okay.
Yeah, and it's it changes their emotion, makes them happier, right, when they smell that. So that's what I would try. I would do that for a while, like a week or two, before you actually put them together physically. You could step it up to visually letting them see each other and giving them treats. So you kind of have two different areas, but then you slide a divider. They still can't contact, but they can see each other, and then boom, you throw treats on them. Right? And it's like, oh, when I see that other bunny, there's treats, right? So don't load them up. Just do it at these points of contact. And don't give them these treats throughout the rest of the day. Just do it for when the contact happens. And I think these bunnies will be overjoyed by seeing or smelling the other one because it gets these treats. And I'd go get a new one, a new treat that's really great that bunnies are known to really like. I don't know what that would be, but that's what I would look for. So I'll leave you with that, and okay. Good luck with it. And let us know how it goes, okay?
Thank you.
All right. For anybody else, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. Let's go with, where are we here? Okay. Let's go to Peter. You've got Patch, a 6-year-old Labrador. What's going on?
She seems to be having breathing problems in the morning.
Okay.
It's labored breathing, and she has that throughout the day.
Oh, okay.
So,
and what is she doing? Like, what does it sound like?
Oh my God.
Okay. Is it episodes? Is it episodes of it, or is it like kind of always there?
It's episodes of it. Sometimes in the morning it'll be worse than in the evening, but sometimes she might go half a day without any.
Okay, and then you went to the vet and they said it's kennel cough?
They said she was treated for kennel cough because she had it, and then we went back to the vet, and then they said the kennel cough is not there, but she still has breathing issues. So they recommended that we get her on a puffer, and then my wife is told to quit and give her reactant.
This is a dog, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have never heard of a dog being on a puffer. They do not get asthmatic conditions like cats, but obviously it's possible. Did they do an x-ray?
Well, that's the next step. They're going to do an x-ray next week and to see what the thing is. So the one thing that we need to find out is what would they be looking for?
Okay, here's a really important question. When the dog is just standing there or lying there breathing, does the breathing sound rougher?
No.
Not at all.
No, she sleeps right through the night. We don't hear her at all. Okay. When she gets up, she starts hacking away type of thing.
Because you have a dog that's the same breed that gets something called laryngeal paralysis, where the top of the airway, the little flaps that open at the top of the airway, they get loose and they start to get weak and they'll get in front of the airway. So the breathing can start to get a little rougher. This is odd, the coughing that happens. I can see why they're going down this road, because kennel cough, you know, we know the kennel cough, and it sounds like that's gone. So, I think the next thing is the x-ray. My concern then as well, has she ever had a heart murmur?
No.
Okay. So fluid in the lungs of some kind, having coughing fits because of that, for sure, and heart disease. These are the things that you would go as the next step. She's not a real old dog, but there are things that can happen like that a little early, but that's what I would be looking for. I think you need the x-rays very soon.
Yeah.
Give that a shot. And I wish I had something that to give you as a, you know, look, if the x-rays are normal, try something like Hicodin, which is an anti-cough medication. But really, I'd be looking pretty deep. An anti-cough medication, I'd want to know what's causing the cough. That's the idea, and that's what they're after. So I'll leave you with that idea, though. It's probably something they won't come up with. For everybody else, I will inform you when my telemedicine platform launches. I promise you, it's any week now. I'm racing to get it done. Thanks for listening. Be good to your pets.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.